Our first reading this morning is taken from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, 9 to 22, and you'll find it on page 1197. Personal remarks and final greetings, reading from verse 9. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my defense, my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus ill in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Let's turn to the passage in 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It was on page 1197. 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 1197. Why don't I pray for us again before we look at the passage together? Father God, we do pray that you would speak to us now through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's begin by using our imagination. So imagine you are walking through Oswestry, okay? Imagine the people that you can see. Imagine the shops that you can see. And now think about the church buildings in Oswestry. And think about this question. How many church buildings can you think of in Oswestry that no longer have church families meeting in them? It's going to be a little bit of interaction this morning, so hands up, or shout out. How many church buildings can you think of in Oswestry that no longer have church families meeting in them? Joe? Okay, so one's become a, brilliant, one's become a house. How many can you think of? Christian? The gym. Okay, so that's two. Ben? The what? Herman Chapel. Three.
Was there one in
Laponi's? The pizza restaurant. Four. Any more? Sorry? Okay, five. Great, we could probably go on. Ellen? One that used to be a... Okay. We wonder if that's the ponies, perhaps. But, okay, we could probably go on, couldn't we? Five, six. Some have become houses, gyms, you know, pizza restaurants. Now, don't get me wrong. I thoroughly enjoy my pizza. But it can be depressing, can't it? Every time we walk into town, we're reminded by these signs that remind us that the church is in retreat. We're not where we once were. And, you know, the Church of England attendance statistics all say the same thing, don't they? That church attendance is going down. Why is this the case? Well, I think one of the reasons is the church faces opposition. The gospel faces opposition, don't we? So I'm sure we can all think of friends or colleagues, neighbours, perhaps people on TV, who at best think the gospel, the message about Jesus, is a fairy tale, and at worst think it's dangerous, that it can do you harm. So the gospel faces opposition from outside the church, but the gospel also faces opposition from within the church, doesn't it? So I can think of church leaders who've said stuff like, you know, you don't need to believe in the resurrection, or you don't need to believe that Jesus died to take the punishment for sins. You know, with friends like these, who needs enemies? And then there was the recent report into Iraq, wasn't there? And what did we do as a country? Well, we sent troops into Iraq without the adequate equipment. Even though we know that when troops go into battle, they're going to face the artillery of the opposition, and there's usually always friendly fire in battles as well, isn't there? People on the inside who perhaps mean well, but do a lot of damage. Opposition from the outside and opposition from within. And I wonder if you ever feel like this, that as a church we're under attack, we're in a battle, we're in retreat, and it feels like we don't have the adequate equipment to be able to defend ourselves, let alone move forward with the gospel. Well, what has God been teaching us in 2 Timothy? Well, God's been saying this, hasn't he? That what we need is church leaders who are going to stick with the gospel project. We need church leaders who are going to stick with the gospel project. This is the defence that God's given us, and it's also the means by which we can move forward and take new ground with the gospel. We need church leaders who are going to stick with the gospel project. Have a look at chapter 1, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. We'll just have a look at some of the things that Paul's been saying. 1 verse 13, what you heard from me, Timothy's a church leader, what you heard from me, keep, stick to, as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Timothy, church leaders need to stick with the pattern, the message about Jesus that's been passed down by the Apostle Paul. Have a look at 2 verse 2. 2 verse 2, the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, the gospel, the message about Jesus, entrust this to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So sticking with the gospel project is going to involve passing on the gospel to other reliable folk who are then going to pass it on to others again. And then have a look at chapter 2 verse 14. It's over the page, 2 verse 14. Timothy and church leaders need to keep reminding, 2 verse 14, keep reminding God's people of these things. The gospel, the message about Jesus. Stick to reminding God's people of the message about Jesus and warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. So church leaders need to keep reminding God's people of the message about Jesus instead of quarrelling about other things. And then have a look at 3 verse 14, chapter 3 verse 14. As for you, Timothy, church leaders, continue, stick at, what you have learned and become convinced of. And what is it that Timothy's learned, and where has he learned it from? Have a look at verse 15. How from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Church leaders need to stick with the Holy Scriptures and what they teach us about Jesus. And then last week, at 4 verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Preach the word in season and out of season. Timothy, church leaders, need to stick with the gospel project. And that means sticking with preaching. Preaching the word. Now, I wonder if you've seen the film The Lord of the Rings. If you have, who's your favourite character? Gandalf, okay. Anyone else? Who's your favourite character? Sorry? Aragorn, thank you. Anyone else? Any other favourite characters in Lord of the Rings? Sam, Frodo. My favourite character is Sam. Samwise Gamgee, because whatever gets thrown in, mountains, valleys, marshes, giant spiders, these dinosaur things on wings, you know, the treachery of friends. Even Frodo loses it at one point, doesn't he? Whatever gets thrown at Sam, he sticks with the project. He's going to get that ring. He's going to get Frodo to the mountain, and that ring's going to be destroyed. Sticks with the project. We need church leaders like Sam. We need church leaders who are going to stick with the project, stick with the gospel project that Paul's been talking about in his letter to Timothy. We need church leaders who are going to stick. Been nervous about that all week. I kept on missing. We need church leaders who are going to stick with the project. Stick with the gospel project. Well, what does that look like in this morning's passage? Well, have a look at chapter 4, verse 9. What does sticky leaders look like? Well, what does Paul want Timothy to do in verse 9? Hope you don't mind the interaction this morning. Chapter 4, verse 9, what does he want Timothy to do? Join him, yeah? Say again? Keep loyal. Absolutely right. Paul wants Timothy to show some loyalty. Why? Because look at verse 10. Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and he has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. It seems like there's deserting going on, left, right and centre. At least people aren't with Paul and he'd like them to be with him. And Paul knows the power of loyalty. Think about the recent EU referendum. You had this kind of facade of loyalty, didn't you? Because, you know, all these people from different political parties were standing shoulder to shoulder, sharing the same platform. You know, why? Because they know that loyalty is good for the message. Just speak up. Can you hear me? Try the other one. Okay. There you go. Quick costume malfunction. Okay. Is that any better? Okay. Sorry about that. Was better. We'll get there in the end. Okay, so Paul knows the power of loyalty. EU referendum, this kind of facade of loyalty. Why do people want to put on this show of loyalty? Because they know it's good for the message, don't they? They know it's going to help people listen to the message, whether it's, you know, we should leave or whether it's, you know, we should remain. But then as soon as the EU referendum's over, what happens? The knives come out, don't they? They're all stabbing each other in the back, and it's horrible, and it's really bad for the message because it undermines the message, doesn't it? And, you know, people just don't listen. Well, Paul knows the power of loyalty, and so he wants Timothy to come and visit him in prison, not because he wants a bunch of flowers, not because he wants a card saying, "I hope you get released soon." Paul wants Timothy to come and visit him because he knows that loyalty's powerful. Standing shoulder to shoulder is going to be good for the project. It's going to help people listen to the message about Jesus. And how do we know that it's the project that Paul's thinking about? Well, have a look at chapter 4, verse 13. 4, verse 13. "When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments." So either Paul wants these scrolls and parchments to arrive so he can get busy writing on them to other church leaders and other churches. Or, you know, he wants Timothy to bring his library, you know, the scriptures and his correspondence with other church leaders. Either way, Paul's mind is on the project, isn't it? That's what he's concerned about, the gospel project. Paul wants Timothy to show some loyalty. What do sticky leaders look like? Well, they show loyalty. And verses 19 to 22, there's lots of examples in there. You could have a look at those later when you get home. 19 to 22, lots of examples in there of other people who are showing loyalty and sticking with the project. So that's the first thing, loyalty. But there's something else as well. Have a look at verse 15. What is it that Timothy needs to be on in verse 15? He needs to be on guard. Brilliant. Against those who oppose the message. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Wales were playing Portugal in the Euros, weren't they? And all the talk was of Cristiano Ronaldo, because everybody knew that he was the most threatening opponent that they were going to face. And so he'd been named, hadn't he? The media had named him, the players had named him, the manager. Everyone was sort of watching out for Cristiano Ronaldo. He was the one they needed to be on guard against. Well, in verse 14, Paul names Alexander the metalworker, because he's going to be a fierce opponent. And what's Timothy's job? And what's the job of church leaders? Well, one of the jobs of church leaders is to guard against those who oppose the message about Jesus. Church leaders need to show loyalty. Church leaders need to guard against those who oppose the message about Jesus. But there's one more thing. Have a look at verse 16. What is everybody doing in verse 16? Everyone is deserting Paul in verse 16, aren't they? But where's the Lord standing in verse 17? The Lord is standing by Paul's side. Now, Paul knows what it's like to face opposition. He knows what it's like to suffer. He's writing this letter from a dungeon, from a prison. You know, I don't know if you've got a cellar at home, but imagine being locked in a cellar, in a dungeon. You know, these are the days before electricity. These are the days before toilets. You know, it's dark. It's damp. It smells. You know, you're chained to the floor. Not only that, you're also joined by all of society's other sort of, you know, unsavouries. It's not a happy holiday, is it? It's not nice. Paul knows what it's like to face opposition and suffering. So how on earth did Paul keep being a sticky leader? How on earth did Paul stick with the project? Well, he stuck with the project because he trusted the God of the project. He trusted the boss of the project. Verse 17 again, "The Lord stood by my side. The Lord gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it." Even through Paul's suffering and opposition, God's using that to get the message out to the Gentiles. The boss is in charge. Verse 18, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and the Lord will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." Paul keeps being a sticky leader because he trusts the boss of the project. Now, here's a picture of Gary Neville up on the screen. I don't know if you are familiar with Gary Neville. He was the captain of Manchester United Football Club for many years. He was a sticky leader. He stuck with the project at Man United, and he displays a number of the qualities that Paul's talking about here. So, for example, loyalty. He only ever played for one football club from the beginning of his career to the very end. He was loyal to one project, the project of Man United. Not only that, he guarded against opponents. That was his job. He was a defender. You know, wave after wave of attack, season after season, his job was to guard against those who opposed them. And as well as that, he implicitly trusts the boss of the project, doesn't he? I mean, at halftime, you're 2-0 down. Who's in the dressing room? Fergie. You know, Sir Alex Ferguson, the most successful football manager in English footballing history. If you can't trust Fergie, who can you trust? So he implicitly trusts the boss of the project. Well, we need church leaders like Samwise Gamgee, and we need church leaders like Gary Neville. We need church leaders who are going to stick with the project, stick with the gospel project, showing loyalty, guarding against those who oppose the message, and trusting the boss of the project. But the good news is, we have a much better example than Samwise Gamgee, and we have a much better example than Gary Neville, because we've got Jesus, haven't we? We've got the one who stuck with the project and stuck with the gospel project to death, so that there might be a gospel that can go out into the world and bring people back into relationship with God when they trust what Jesus has done. So what is the invitation then to us from this passage? And what's the invitation from the whole of 2 Timothy for us as a church family, as a congregation? Well, I think the invitation is this. Will we help our church leaders to be sticky? Will we help our church leaders to stick with the gospel project? Well, what might it look like if we did help our church leaders to be sticky? Well, let me tell you about Ruth. Because when I was a fledgling youth leader in a church growing up, I was just sort of helping out with a youth group on a Friday night. Ruth was a great example to me. And she still is now. So every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening, me, my mum and dad, we used to go and pick Ruth up from her house and we used to take her to church. And she was someone who showed loyalty. She didn't have a car, but she got my mum and dad to come and pick her up every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening so she could stand shoulder to shoulder with the brothers and sisters at church. Loyalty. And not only that, she used to write to me when I was at uni, and she used to, you know, tell me that she was praying for me, and she used to fill me in with the news from back home. And so she was someone who showed loyalty, and that was a massive encouragement to me as a kind of a fledgling leader. Not only that, she also loved to be taught the Bible, and to be taught the Bible correctly and well. So often when we'd be driving home after church, she'd be talking in the car about perhaps how her thinking needed to change, or how her life needed to change. But at the same time, she'd be kind of, you know, full of joy, and she'd be talking about how blessed she was to be able to hear the Bible taught well. And so she was loyal. She loved to be taught the Bible well. And as well as that, she also trusted the boss of the project, because life wasn't always easy for Ruth. And yet she persevered. And even as a teenager, I could see that she was someone who persevered, who kept trusting the boss of the project through the ups and downs of life. So how might it look for us to be encouraging our leaders to be sticky? Well, why not think of three leaders in our church family? Hopefully on your talk outline sheets, you've got a little bit that says people, 1, 2, 3. Why not think of three church leaders in our congregation? Now, they don't need to be paid members of staff. You know, leader, it could be someone leading on the Lighthouse Rota. Could be a church leader who's, you know, leading with the creche. Could be someone who's leading a home group. Let's all write down the names of three people now on our little service outlines. Three leaders in our church family. Go for it. You've got 20 seconds to write down the names of three people. Hopefully you're nearly there. Three names, three leaders in our church family. Okay, this week, commit to praying for those three people. You know, in your quiet time at home, in your family Bible time. Family Bible times, you get to model it to your children, don't you? We get to show our children that it's important to pray for our leaders because we need leaders who are going to stick with the gospel project. Why not commit to praying for those three leaders? Perhaps if you've got a regular walk, I don't know if you walk to school every day or if you do a weekly walk maybe to co-op or to, you know, to a friend's house or whatever. If you've got a weekly walk, why not use that walk this week to pray for the three people, the three leaders, those three names that you've just written down? We need to pray that our leaders will stick with the project, don't we? You know, when could we pray? Secondly, what could we say to our leaders in our church family that's going to help them to keep going with the project? What could we say? So, for example, you know, if we see a church leader in our church family showing loyalty and commitment, then why not say something like, do you know, it's a massive encouragement to me in my own walk with God when I see that loyalty. You know, I thank God for your loyalty. It's a good, you know, stick at it, keep going. Or if we see a church leader guarding against those who oppose the message, you know, saying, actually, you know, that's not right, actually. This is what we need to believe. When we see that, why don't we encourage our church leaders and say something like, do you know, thank you for loving us enough to point out error and, you know, for keeping us on the straight and narrow. Because it's not easy putting your neck on the line, you know, time and time again. So what could we say to encourage our church leaders? Or if we see our church leaders, you know, trusting the boss of the project through the highs and lows of life, why don't we say something encouraging like, you know, I thank God that you keep trusting God, even though I know life's not easy for you at the moment, because that's an encouragement to me in my walk with God, because life's not always easy for me either. You know, what can we say? And when are we going to say, how are we going to say it? Is it a card? A letter? An email? Are we going to say something in person? What could we pray? What could we say to help our church leaders to be sticky, to stick with the gospel project? Thirdly, what about play? What could we actually do to help our leaders stick with the gospel project? Well, think about it this way. Who are the church leaders of tomorrow? Who are the church leaders of tomorrow? Sorry? The younger generation. It's the ones who are in there, isn't it? And are through there. And are through there. And the teenagers that are sat amongst us now. What can we do to help the church leaders of tomorrow be sticky? Well, if we've got children at home, we want to be reading the Bible with them, don't we? We want to be reading the Bible with our kids at home because that's how it began for Timothy. That's how it started for Timothy. Timothy knew the scriptures, we found out a couple of weeks ago. He knew them from infancy. And here he is in the Bible, a church leader. So helping our leaders to be sticky, it begins in the home. We need to be reading the Bible with our kids at home. At the back there on the refreshments table, there's going to be the children's and youth prayer letter. Why not take that home with you today and pray through it this week? Because when you're praying through that, we're praying for the church leaders of tomorrow, aren't we? And we're praying that they're going to stick with the gospel project. Or think about our trainee scheme here at Holy Trinity. Why do we have trainees? Why do we have people who are going to come and spend a year or two with us? Well, the whole point of the trainee program here is to be helping leaders to be sticky, to stick with the gospel project, because church leaders don't grow on trees. Be nice if they did, wouldn't it? But they don't. And so if we're going to help our leaders to be sticky, we're going to have to use our wallets strategically. It's going to be costly to produce sticky leaders. What could you do to help church leaders, our church leaders, to be sticky, to stick at the gospel project? Well, let's just take 20 seconds now, 20, 30 seconds, to think of one thing that we could do personally to help leaders to be sticky. I'm going to pray, and then you've got 20 seconds to write something down in your service outline. Let's pray. Father God, please help us all to think of one thing that we could do to help church leaders stick with the gospel project. Amen. 20, 30 seconds to write one thing down on your bit of paper. Go for it. It's great to see lots of people writing stuff down. Some people might be committing something to memory. Well, everybody's got one of these. Hopefully it was in your service sheets as you came in. When you get home today, stick this on your mirror, because this is your sticky leader. Stick it on your mirror, stick it on your fridge. You could even make your sticky leader look like one of the names that you've written down on your sheet if you want to. But stick it somewhere where you're going to see it, because this is going to remind you to do the thing that you've written down on your bit of paper. This is your sticky leader to remind you to do whatever it is that you're going to do. And just as we finish, imagine if we did actually do the things we'd written down. Imagine if we did encourage our leaders to be sticky and we kept on encouraging our leaders to be sticky. I can think of at least 25 leaders in our church family, folk who are in some sort of position of leadership. And let's say on average we've got, you know, 35 years worth of ministry left, God willing. What's 25 times 35? Well, it's 875 years. That's 875 years worth of ministry left in this church family, and that's just the leaders. I mean, imagine the new people that can be reached in 875 years. Imagine the disciples that can be made in 875 years. We need to encourage our leaders to stick with the project, don't we? Stick with the gospel project. Or imagine if there were people like Timothy growing up through our church family. Imagine if there were so many leaders growing up through our church family, we just didn't know what to do with them. Imagine the existing ministries that could flourish even more. Imagine the new ministries that could be started. Imagine we had so many leaders coming through that we were planting churches back into houses and back into gyms and back into pizza restaurants. That would be exciting, wouldn't it? Anyone else excited about that? Good. Why don't I pray? Heavenly Father, please give us leaders who will stick with the gospel project. And Heavenly Father, please help us all to do what we can to help our leaders stick with the gospel and stick with the gospel project. Amen.